thank you, Jesus.
Just so happy. How many happy to be in Jesus?
Amen.
We happy to be in church, but we're more happy to be in Jesus. There's a lot of people in church, but they ain't in Jesus. But tonight we're happy to be in Jesus. Amen. We thank God for being a keeper. We thank God for being a way maker. We thank God for being God. Amen. Thank God that God is God. Tonight we just thank God for all of his goodness and his wonderful words. The scripture says unto the children of men. Amen. Tonight, none of us can help ourselves. None of us can save ourselves. Nobody can deliver ourselves. But thank God. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you,
come on, can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you,
amen. It's so good to see you shine out. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said he's hanging in there. Amen. And we just bless the Lord. You know, the song to every day with Jesus is what?
Sweeter than
before. Come on, can I get some help? Every day with Jesus is what?
Sweeter
than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. And that is so true. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And you know, the devil knows that how many are happy in Jesus? So you know his desire, his goal is to get you out of Jesus, amen. To get you wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in situations that aren't in Jesus. Now on Sunday, I guess this would be the sequel or follow up to Sunday. A blessing is born out of adversity. Many times we look at adversity, we see adversity as God being angry with us. A lot of times we have those unexpected problems. You ask God, what did I do wrong? Amen. But how many know Joseph? He knows the way that the Lord knows the way that I take it. Before Job said that, he said, you know, I have not declined from the words of his mouth. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He said, I haven't gone to the right or to the left. I stayed in the center of God's will. He said, but sometimes, even as I see God and stay in the middle of his will, I seem like I just can't find God. But Job concluded, he said, I look for him on the right hand, I can't find him. Job said, I go forward, I still can't find God. He said, I go backward. He said, you know, I see the way he's blessing everybody else, but when I get there, I just cannot seem to find God. He said, but one thing for sure is that the Lord knows. How many know God knows tonight? God knows the way that I take, and when it's all over, I shall come forth as gold. So tonight we're going to continue our study on adversity. Amen. And I'm not going to have you stand yet. We said adversity is an adverse situation. It's a misfortune, unfortunate event, or circumstances. When you think of adversity, you think of something that overwhelms, amen, to get us down and to make us doubt God. And you know, Job is probably one of the greatest examples of someone overcoming adversity. The scripture says he was the richest man in the east. God bragged on Job and said, there's none like him in all the earth. A perfect man, escheweth evil. Amen. He said, he holdeth fast his integrity. And the Bible lets us know that in one day, can we say one day?
One day.
It's bad when you lose everything in.
One day.
In one day, Job went from being the richest man in the east and blessed and having 7 sons and 3 daughters. To being the poorest man in the east and having no children. That is what you call true adversity. Amen. And even in this adversity, the Bible said that Job fell down and worshiped. Remember we said on Sunday, it's not your aptitude, but your attitude that determines your altitude. Amen. A lot of times we think, well, it's about my knowledge. No, the only knowledge that counts is the knowledge that you have in God. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. You got to see God. So Job said, you know what? I still worship. Amen. The Bible said, in all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. The right attitude. But, you know, how many know when the devil was the devil, the devil was the devil? He still was not satisfied. Amen. He wasn't satisfied, so he said, God, you know what? Let me touch his body. Anybody been, the body been afflicted a little bit? You know what God is doing? He's permitting this adversity to see what is your attitude.
Amen.
How are you going to respond to this adversity? The devil said, you let me touch his body. He said, I guarantee you, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, you know what? I give you permission. You can touch his body, but you cannot touch his life. And the devil went out and afflicted Job with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He said, I have escaped, but with the skin of my feet. That's a bad situation. Amen. You ever break down a little bit? I know years ago I had poison ivy when I was a kid. That was a bad situation. I looked like the pink man. I had so much calamine lotion on trying to get rid of that itching. But it was miserable, but it was nothing compared to Job. He said, I only escaped with the skin of my teeth. Now, Job had to really be going through something because he said when his friends came to see him, to see what was going on, all they could do for 7 days and 7 nights is sit down and watch Job. Now, we're talking about one day overcoming adversity. When his friends saw him, they said all they could do was lift up their voice and weep. You know, you're in a bad situation. When your friends can't say anything to you for 7 days and 7 nights, yet Job still had a right. Now, he tried to justify himself, but we know Job was all right because when we come up to the 42nd chapter, he tells the three friends, he said, you have not spoken the things that are right about me, like my servant. Through all of that, can you imagine God still said he had a right attitude? Through all of that, sometimes we go through, like a little sore toe, a sore finger, you know, a little headache. I can't do it. Job didn't let anything stop him. Amen. Adversity. Overcoming adversity. Getting a blessing out of adversity. Somebody said, well, how do we know Job was blessed out of his adversity? I'm not going to have y'all stand up yet, but go to the 42nd chapter of Job. We went over this before. Job, the 42nd chapter. Amen. And we're going to start with verse 1 of the 42nd chapter. Say, well, how can you get blessed in adversity? Amen. How do you go from being rich to poor? And the scripture said Job lost everything. He didn't even have the support of his wife any longer because of adversity. What do we do in adversity? What do we do in adversity? Amen. Now, Job 42:1 reads, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do. How many know God can do everything? Not something, but God can do. Whatever you need, God got it. Whatever you need, God can do it. He said, I know thou can do everything. And that no thought, Job said, I got a whole lot of stuff that I was saying. He said, well, God, when you question me from chapter 36 all the way up to chapter 41, you revealed some stuff in me that I didn't express to anybody else. He said, so I know that you can't hide anything from in your adversity, God knows. Whatever you're experiencing, God knows. So Job goes and said that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I understood that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I. That's, you know, who's y'all talking to now? When you start talking to God, God will show you some things that you didn't know. When you have that one-on-one relationship, adversity should drive you away from God, but adversity should be like a magnet and draw you to God. Amen. The scripture, the psalm said, it is good that we should draw near to God. You know, in adversity, a lot of times we draw near to people. We depend on people. We're supposed to draw near to God. He said, here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee, Job said. I've heard what you've done for others. He said, but now my eyes see thee. See who? Who is he seeing? He said, you know what, God? I've heard of everything you've done for others. He said, now I see what you're doing in me. So my eyes see not everybody else, but see who? God. Wherefore I warn myself and repent and dust in ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy true friends, for ye have not. I wonder tonight if we would just do an introspection. If we just reflect back, what have we been saying about God? In our circumstances, in our adversity, what have we been saying about God? He said, for ye have not spoken with me the thing that is right as my servant Job had. Therefore, I take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall. My servant, he that was right. You know, a lot of times we want people to pray for us, but you can't get somebody to pray for you if they're not right. Amen. A lot of times people say, well, pray for me. How can somebody pray for you when they cannot pray for themselves? Amen. How are they going to pray for you? And they can't even pray for themselves. He said, pray for you, for I will accept him. If somebody prays for me, I want them to be right so God will hear them and then he will accept them. Amen. Lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me. It's so important. You know, a lot of times we say, I didn't say it. How many of you know God knows our thoughts? God reads our hearts. Because God does not see as man looks at our outward appearance, but God sees our heart. The things which are right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he what? You want some deliverance, you need to do what? Pray for what? Somebody else. Amen. Take the focus off of you. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had. After the what? Adversity. Let's keep going. Then came there unto him all his brethren. Now, all of them in adversity, where were they at? Could not be found. Amen? That's why in adversity, your attitude has to be right with God, because God said, I'll never leave you, nor no matter how bad it gets, God said, I'm still with you. But when how many know when trouble comes and everything's going all right, everybody else will come around too. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters. Where were they at when he was going? Yeah, man, somebody, where were you at when I was going through? That's why you got to have God, because when your situation is bleak, you know, like if you had Ebola, your whole family would be gone, but not God. Amen? In your adversity, keep your attitude right with God. Amen? That had been his acquaintance before, all of them were coming, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Did God bring it upon him? No. God permitted it to see what was in. Whatever you're going through, God has only permitted it to see what is really in. You know when the real you comes out? When you are in adversity. When things are going wrong, that's when the real you comes. When the things are going wrong, that's when we know you have your joy. Amen. He said, and every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. But this is what, where are we talking about what? Adversity. Right? Going through adversity with the what? Right attitude. Who likes to suffer? None of us like to suffer. Amen. If we had our way, we would not suffer. But sometimes we need adversity to get a blessing. Because in adversity, when you really mean right, you know what he said. Dear Lord, I come. Dear Lord, I come. And I have, Lord, all. This is adversity. Well, this is what adversity would make you do. He said, all that I have is on the altar. That's adversity. That's when you really mean well. Amen. So the Lord blessed the what? Latter end of Job. But the latter end was after he went through adversity. With the right attitude, God said, you know, whatever you had now, I'm going to bless you with more. Whatever you had before it started, when you go through it with the right attitude, we have the assurance of God that he's going to give you more. He said, bless them with more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. Now this is all what? Double. Job received double after the adversity. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. When did Job get all of this? After the what? His blessing came through the adversity. Because through the adversity, he depended on God. Now let us stand. All right, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to read one verse of scripture there, and then verse 10, and then I'll let you be seated. So tonight, we're dealing with it, the right attitude. You know, we don't understand the working of God, and none of us knows what God is doing in our lives. You know what God said? You know what? I can't show you everything because you can't handle it. God said, if I showed you everything right now, it would blow your mind. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable. We're going to go over the scripture about that in a minute, too. The scripture says this about, what are we talking about? What? If thou what? Faint in the day of adversity, it reveals that your strength is small. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word in the church then.
Word of the Lord.
And you may be seated. Amen. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. So if you faint in the day of, if you quit, this faint means to go cowardice, to have lack of courage, to lose your joy, to have no peace. In the day of adversity, and somebody said, well, how am I going to have peace when there's trouble all around me? Do we believe the word of God? Amen. Do we believe the word of God? Amen. Did not the scripture say that thou will keep him in?
Perfect peace.
And what kind of peace?
Perfect
peace comes from who?
God.
What? In the middle of it. While you're going through it, when you keep your mind stayed on him, he will keep thee in. Perfect peace. But not mine. But the devil is still the devil. So what does he do in our adversity? He gets our minds off of God. And then when our minds are off of God, everything is a problem. Even when people try to do good, we can't see the good because we can't get past the problem. Well, if you begin to faint in the day of adversity, the scripture is plain and clear, then you don't have any real spiritual strength. Your strength is small. You don't have the fortitude to fight through it because you're fainting. And Jesus said it best. He said, men are always
praying.
When you pray, who do you pray to? You know what he said? In the middle of your adversity, you depend on God. In the middle of it, when you're going through it, saying you ought always to pray. Somebody said, well, I'm tired of hearing about prayer. Well, you know why long you're going to go through that? Till you get used to praying. Because God is not going to sugarcoat our situation and allow us to walk in disobedience to his word. So we're fainting in the day of adversity. We don't have no strength. Amen. Half the time we can't even pick ourselves up. Look like a sad sack. What does a sad sack look like? Let's see. If you want to see what a sad sack looks like when you're going through stuff, when somebody look at you, right? Are you a sad sack? Amen? Well, see, I'm going through it. Like Minister Simon said, they want to know what was wrong with him and his job. I'm sure everything wasn't perfect, but he wasn't made. Come on, y'all know what a y'all know, I don't even know what a sad sack is. I just heard it. All right. But if it was a sad sack, you gotta be a bad sack. Amen. You don't want to. When the world look at us, we are the light of the world. We are a city that is set on up. We are the salt of the earth. Well, if we all that, how can the world look at us and say, I would leave church alone? You know, I've heard so many people say this. If that's what church is all about, I'd rather stay in the world. That ain't a witness. That's not what God. In your adversity, you still gotta keep your joy. Amen. Actually, can I borrow one of the stories that my wife told? Can I borrow one of her stories?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to borrow one of her stories about adversity. The story is about the carrot, the egg, and the... Yeah, that's what's going on. What's the last one? Coffee bean. Right? Yes, y'all heard this. Oh. They didn't listen to you. I'm go to the end of it. Oh, you passed out a couple times. Oh, Matthew, remember it? Right? Well, it says, so for some of y'all heard it, so some of y'all is new, but it ain't mine, it's hers. All right? Let's go over the coffee, the carrot, and the egg. And they're all facing adversity. Amen? All facing adversity. And as the story goes, you know, there's so many different versions of it, but I'll borrow your version because that's what we've already heard. A young lady was going through the worst of things. She was to the point of wanting to quit and give up. She said, what's the use? Every time I think it's getting better, it gets worse. Every time I think I'm going to come out of this, my situation gets worse. So she was to the point of wanting to give up and quit and just throw in the towel. So when things get bad, you always go to the grandparents. Thank God for grandparents. Anybody here a grandparent? The parents get mad because the grandchildren are going to do grandparents. They've been around for a while, so you know a little bit. All right? So it's nothing wrong with going to the grandparents. But she went to her grandmother, and the grandmother, she said, my life is just falling apart. She said, I'm just ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. So the grandmother in wisdom said, come with me into the kitchen. Y'all follow? Y'all with me? All right. She filled up 3 pots with the same amount of water and turned all of the pots on until they began to boil. In one pot, she put in some carrots. In another pot, she put some eggs. And in another pot, she put some coffee beans. And the granddaughter's like, I got problems. I ain't got time for this food. What are you doing? She said, just stay with me. So after 20 minutes of boiling water, she turned the pots off, let them cool down, and she dipped the carrots out and put them in a bowl. She dipped the eggs out, put them in a separate bowl, and she ladled out some of the water from the coffee beans and put it in a bowl. Now she said, what do you see in this bowl? She said, it was a carrot. She said, well, how's the kid? She said, well, what's that got to do with what I'm going through? She said, pick up the carrot. And the granddaughter picked up the carrot, and the carrot was soft and all mushy. She said, well, the carrot went into the hot water, the same adversity. They all had what? All 3 of the pots were what? Hot water. So they all faced the same adversity. She said the carrot went into the pot firm, but the heat made it soft. A lot of saints strong till they get in the heat. Then they get it. Can't handle it. Then they got to the egg. She said, well, what's the big deal about the egg? She said the egg went in soft. It was pliable. God can use that. God can touch it. But they don't feel the egg. The egg was now hard. Amen? Y'all follow? Some of us are strong. We got in the adversity, not on the water, but we got Some of us are soft and God can touch and use us. God, the hot water we got. Some people say, oh, let's stay away from that. But the coffee bean was different. Because the coffee bean went in the hot water, but the coffee bean changed the water. All of the other things, the hot water changed them, but the coffee bean changed the water, and it was a sweet aroma, and she began to drink it. So the grandmother asked and said, which one are you? And that's the question, like, which one are you? Thank you for your story. Which one are you? They all face the exact same adversity. Amen? The carrot wilted, though it was strong. The one that was soft for God got hard. But the coffee bean stayed the bean, but it changed. We are the salt of the earth. And the scripture says, if the salt has lost its savior, what good is it? We are the light of the world, but if our light is under a bushel, what's the problem? Adversity. So it's not the attitude that determines the altitude, but it's the
attitude.
The coffee bean, the carrot, and the egg. Which one would you consider yourself tonight? You can't be both. You can't be all three. You got to be one. Are you allowing your adversity to change you? Are you changing the world around you because of your adversity? The coffee bean stayed the same, but it changed the water. Are you changing things around you? Or is everything around you changing you? Do you pray sometimes and don't pray? Do you have joy and have sorrow? The Bible says that double-minded man is... Y'all gonna preach with me, right? A double-minded man is unstable in. And the scripture said, let not that man expect to receive of the Lord. You got to change situations. You cannot allow your hardships and your hardship and your boiling waters to change you. Amen? So if you're facing the day of adversity, it reveals that your strength was small. Isaiah 40 and 25 reads. Now, this is God. How many know there's not a God like our God? Amen. We say it's our kid. Nobody. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He will pick me up. He'll what? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Even in adversity, he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of God are not. Well, he said, you sons of Jacob. Well, that's, he's talking about the church. You're not consumed because I will not change. The problem is we change too much. Amen. We got to become more constant and consistent in God. So he said, to whom then will ye? God said, okay, now I understand. He said, I understand you're going through a lot. But who are you going to compare me to in the midst of what you're going through? Amen? Or shall I be possessed thee, the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. Behold who he has created. God said, you know, you go through all this. Look at everything. Who created everything that you see? Amen? That bringeth out their hosts by numbers. He called them all by name, by the greatness of his. I believe around Psalm 118, he said he calls these stars by name. How do you know that stars are innumerable? But our God in his infinite knowledge calls each one by, the depth of the riches. We can't understand God. Amen? He said, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one failing. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is, he said, my people, why are you saying that I can't see what you're going through? You mean I don't understand what you're experiencing? You see my ways here from the Lord and my judgment is, you mean God will not do what is right when the scripture said the judge of all the earth shall do? He said my judgment is past gone. Amen? Has thou, I wouldn't have you known tonight. We're not talking about a man. We're not talking about your husband. We're not talking about your wife, your best friend. We're not talking about the pastor, anybody. We're talking about who? God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not that the what? Everlasting God, the Lord, the creators of the end of the earth, what? God won't faint. If you faint in the day of adversity, reveals your. You know, in essence, you're not dependent on God. God is not your dependency because your strength is. But he fainted? God will not faint, and neither is he. There is no just saying God. You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try to understand it. Just stay in God. There's no searching of his understanding. He gave his what? Power unto the. If you faint, stay in God. If you got out, get back in him. Amen. He gave power to the faint and to them that have no. He went through what? Somebody said, I'm just so weak that you need to get back in God. In your adversity, get back in God. He fainted not, he's neither weary, he giveth power to the faith and to them that have no might, he will increase their. He said, even the youth shall faint and young men. But anybody tonight want to wait on God? In your adversity, though you don't understand it, wait on God. Then the widow of the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to do what? He said, you know what? For a long time you've been down. But when you get in God, you're going to mount up wings as eagles. You're going to run and not be. You're going to walk and not faint because you did what? Waited on the Lord. Anybody ever, have y'all ever heard of Les Brown? Les Brown is a motivational speaker. Now we don't know what we eat of eagles, right? This is what Les Brown says. He's supposed to be Christian too, so I hope he missed, he put God in it as well. He said, how can you soar with eagles when you walk with turkeys? Right? You're trying to get up there with the eagles, but your whole environment is with turkeys. If you want to soar with the eagles, you need to change your end. And he said, well, let me explain to you this way. He said, a lot of you have a yes I can attitude, but when it comes to God, you have a no I can't aptitude. I can do anything. I can do this. But when it comes to God, your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding of God is a no I can't aptitude. We need to change the way our processing. Amen? I told y'all, I said, you know what? These apostolics don't have no wisdom. I'm going to show them some apostolics on some stuff too. Amen? We know more than 1 + 1 = 2. And 2 + 2 = 3. I told y'all. Amen? You got to change your attitude. Amen? Why? Don't worry about anything else. What is your attitude like with God? Because the only one that's going to change your present condition, the only one that can remold your adversity is God. He gave his power to the who? Faith. And did they have no strength, he will increase. They have no might, he will increase their strength. He said, now, don't worry about youth and all of that. Your dependency has to be on who? On God. So tonight I'm saying we're all facing some type of adversity. We're all three, the carrot, the egg, and the coffee bean, went into the same adversity. Two allowed the adversity to change them, but one. And that's why the Bible said three, but you're going to bring the third part?
Through the fire.
The burn part, what?
Through the fire.
Anybody want to go?
Through the fire.
You got to go through the fire. That fire represents adversity. But then they say, you're going to bring yourself through it. Who's going to do it? God will. Hallelujah. The problem in church, we've got too much dependency on everybody else making a way for us. And we forgot about the God of all the earth that can change anything. God can do, didn't Job say God can do everything? Well, if God can do everything, why are you placing limitations on God? Now, I got some notes, but I'm on free will. Go to Psalm 78, verse 41. Why are we placing limitations on God? Amen. Why are we angering God by insulting God to say, God, my situation is too big for you. You can't change this. I like a God that can go down and speak to Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days. Now, by ordinary thinking, he's dead now and he stinketh. Hallelujah. But when God calls your name, there ain't a devil in hell. Hallelujah. Even the spirit of death came over you. When God calls your name, choose to believe God and let every man be a. Let God be. Can you let God be? I don't care what a million people say. Let God be true. This is Israel when they kept going in and out of God. You know, the double-minded man is what? It's unstable. It's unstable. Today you believe God, tomorrow you doubt God. You're on the mountaintop to get a phone call. Don't you know God is in control? There ain't a person in this world, not even the demons in hell, can do anything to you if God says, not yet. Because God is in control. But the devil always wants us to have our dependency on mankind or what someone else can do. I'd rather sell out and be with God. Because I know even in my wrong, if I mess up, when I'm with God, he'll take the crooked thing. He'll take the rough places. The Bible said, make them. When I stay in, I wanted today, how many of us are losing out on the blessing that we could have obtained in our adversity? Because our focus is off. Our dependency is off. I've learned every day, I've learned to lean and depend on Jesus. We've depended on so many things that can't help. Why are you going to spend money? Isaiah said, why are you going to spend money for that to satisfy? Not. You spend money for bread that won't do anything. He said, oh, everyone, you come to the water and drink. Who's the water? Jesus said, I am the living water. He told that woman at the well, he said, if you knew who I was. That's the problem today. We don't know who he is. He said, if you knew who I was, and when I give you water, you are never? She said, Lord, who are you? Amen. But God said, you know what? I'm going to see how honest you are. I'm going to see how real you want to be. He said, you want this water? He said, go call your husband. Right? Because he wanted her to confess her wrong. God can't help you until you get it right first. She said, well, I don't have a husband now. He said, yeah, I know you've had five husbands. And the one you have now? Then after that, he gave her the plan of salvation. But it was after she made an open confession that she was wrong. All right, somebody said, don't go there too long. I can't go there too long. I'm just telling you, you can't get nothing from God if you ain't truthful. You can't get nothing. He didn't ask her. He said, just go call your husband. Then she went and did it. He's like, well, salvation, you're not ready for salvation. And what was this? The woman was the woman of what? Samaria. And at that time, Jesus said, I'm sent but to the lost sheep of the house. But when your heart is clean, when your heart is right, he'll still make a way for you. Amen? Now, this is Israel when they kept tempting God, when they kept placing limits on God. You know, in the early year, they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness, defeat all these millions of people, limiting God, right? So God got angry at them after a while. He says, yea, they turned back and what? Tempt anybody, but let God be God. And they limited tonight in your situation or your circumstances. Are you limiting God? God gets angry at the church when we say he can't do anything, when Paul said he can do all things. Amen? Not just he, Paul said, I can do. Do you believe you can do all things? God permits adversity. He brings trials and tests to see what's really in you. Are you going to make it? Are you going to come through it? Amen. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're talking about trying to have what kind of attitude? A right attitude. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. Actually, earlier they talk about quite a few things, but let's go to verse 20. We're going to read verses 20 through 27 of Proverbs chapter 4. But you know, we all know the scripture. And earlier he said, wisdom is the principal thing, get wisdom, but in all thy getting, get an understanding. And verse 18 said, the path of the just is as it was. The shining. So that all leads up to him trying to listen to the word of God and take sound counsel, okay? Verse 20 said, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine. Now we're keeping what? God's word. What is it? Before us. Amen. You want God's help? Keep his words before you. Right? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What are we talking about? God's word? We're talking about wisdom. For they are life unto those that, we're talking about the word of God, and help to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the. Now this is a great word on it. This word, keep thy watch, keep thy heart with all diligence. What the psalmist is saying is set a watchtower around your heart. The stuff that ain't supposed to be in there, keep it out. The stuff that God wants in there, he said, let it. You gotta set a watch. Now this watch was like a fortified wall, a fortified tower. Now when you got something that's fortified, you choose what can come in and you choose what can go. He said, this, your heart is so important. Make it like a fortified tower. You choose what can come in, and you choose from go out, for out of it are the. Everything about your life comes from the heart. Amen. And verse 24 said, put away from thee a. Get your mouth right. And perverse lips. A lot of times we want from God, but we say some of the most cruelest, wicked stuff. Mean, hateful. See, guard your heart. The way you guard your heart is watch your mouth and watch your lips. Amen. The late Bishop Carl Spelt said, thank God that he doesn't listen to what our foolish lips say. But God knows your heart. Thank God he doesn't listen to what our foolish lips say. Because God knows our hearts. Amen. He said, let thine eyes look. Don't look to the left or the right. You know what? Now you got your eyes on Jesus. Don't take them off. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. He said, now, somebody trying to get out of adversity. This guy get out of it. Ponder the. Consider what you're doing. Consider what you're saying. Consider what you look at. Consider what you're doing. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all be established. We're trying to find a place in God. Proverbs 23:7 says, for any man thinking in his heart, what is in your heart? What issues? Are you guarding your heart? Amen. Are you exposing yourself to so much ungodliness, worldliness, and filth? And then you want to get in there and say, oh God, help me. Then you, this is how the devil is. You're trying to pray to God, but you can't get to God because of all that mess. Amen. That you let get in there. All that stuff that you said, keep your lips, keep your mouth. You said all this stuff. Now when you're praying to God, you can't see God because you can't get through all of that ungodliness that you did. So that's why you have to keep that heart with all. You got to protect it. You got to keep it. Because the devil knows that out from the heart, the Bible says, out of the what? Issues of life. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Amen. And y'all know that scripture in the Bible. Jesus, this is what Jesus said. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Somebody said, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did, because it came out of? Came from the heart. So a lot of times, even in church, we say, people say, oh, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. God, I look at your heart, you're full of doubt. You're full of unbelief. You're fooling them, but you're not fooling. Because I don't see it. We're trying to overcome adversity. Adversity is intended to make you stop, quit, and give up because you don't have strength. But the real child of God fights through the adversity. All right, now let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. All right, I got a few more minutes. We're trying to overcome the spirit of adversity. Amen. We're trying to keep a right attitude even in adversity. When some people go through adversity, they're meaner than 10 rattlesnakes all tied up, tangled up in the hot day and out in Texas. All you have to do is look at them and they all start biting. And that's how some of the saints are. You know, even y'all happy to see one of the saints? You say, oops, wrong way. No. And the Bible said, this was just, Proverbs said, he said, he that walketh by and meddleth with stuff that don't belong to them is like a one that takes a dog by the ears. You don't take a, you, then it's like, let's use this example. You got a mean pit bull. Right? Your situation, you're going to go mess with something. You're going to grab a pit bull by the ears. Right? You're going to do that? How about go grab one of Jason's crazy dogs? Right? That's when you're meddling with stuff that don't belong to you. We need, in church, we need to stay in our stuff. Didn't Paul tell a Thessalonian study to do your own? I won't help y'all out with this scripture. Study to do your own what? Business. Don't get busy. Why are you getting everybody else's stuff? Do your own business. All right. Somebody say, get back on. Your time is running. All right. We're going to go to Acts chapter 4. Now, this is after we're talking about adversity, man. Getting a blessing out of what? Getting a blessing out of adversity. And your blessing is going to be determined by your attitude. And your attitude is going to be determined by what you allow to come in your heart. And it's also going to be a reflection of what comes out of your... So, now, each one of us, because I don't know what you say, what you do, get an idea, but I don't know, all right? I don't know what you say and what you do in your private time, when it's you and your best friend. They ought to be talking about God, because you keep your heart full, diligence. You guard your heart. But I'm just saying, per se, this is for the internet. This ain't for y'all. Okay, so y'all can relax. When you're talking to people, what are you saying? What are you representing? How does God see you? Amen? Somebody said, well, if somebody was here, you wouldn't do this. Don't you realize God is everywhere you go? God hears everything you say. And even what y'all think about me right now, God knows. God knows. Can the church step up to the plate and please be the church? Be real. God is not interested in hypocrisy and in guile and deceit. Be real. Amen. The Bible says it's the bread of sincerity and truth. And not all this hypocrisy, one way around the saints and another way here. You know, the world today is, even in church, this is one of the most wicked places you can ever be. Because people like to create stuff that's not really there. They like to make up stuff that's not really there. Well, where does that come from? The devil. Because he's the master disguiser. If he tried to trick Jesus, don't you realize he's going to try to trick you? Amen? All right, verse 1. Then this is after Peter and John had healed the impotent man at the temple. And even in the blessing, people got mad. Amen. God healed. And people said, why are they doing this? Why are they doing it that way? Right? So then the chief priests and Caiaphas and all that, they come down and say, what are y'all coming around with all that Jesus stuff for? I'm Jesus and Jesus only. What is the PAC? Right? What's that? Preaching his doctrine only. PhDO. Amen. PhDO. Preaching his doctrine only. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through
Jesus.
Why are you mad about that? Right? Why are you mad about them preaching about Jesus' resurrection of the dead, remember? The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Now this is how hypocrisy is, right? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, you see now that Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, they didn't believe in angels, right? So they walk up to Jesus and said, this woman had six husbands or seven husbands in the resurrection. Hypocrisy. How are you going to ask Jesus about something you don't believe in? Right? So they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they laid hands on them and put them in a hole until the next day, for it was now even time. Because they are angry that they preached Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, and because they had healed someone that was impotent for 40 years. Wrong attitude. Amen. How many of them which heard the word? And that day, how many went down into the church? A blessing came out of their adversity. Because they would not allow the people to get the advantage. So a blessing. So they were mad, causing all kind of confusion, but because they still preach Jesus. They refused to cow down or bow down, and as a result of that, even through all the adversity, God said, you know what, they're faithful. So I'm going to add 5. How many? And what? In one day, all right? I'm not going to go through that. Let's go down to verse 13. All right, down to verse 13. We're talking about a blessing out of adversity. Verse 13 says, and when they saw the what? Peter and John, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been. It was not their aptitude, but their attitude that determined their altitude. They said, these guys are ignorant and unlearned, and they're healing, they're doing all this. They said, you know what, they had to be with? I wonder when people see us, can they say, you've been with?
Jesus.
With Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say, when God performs a miracle, and people might try to tear down. Hallelujah. They couldn't say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. They said, we can't deny it. It's evident. But then it's been no further among the people. Let us straighten the adversity. Right? Adversity. God is moving. The devil is never happy when God is moving. So what does he do? He I wonder how many of us have cowed down because of the threat, not because of what has happened, but the threat of what the devil is going to do. In your adversity, do you persevere or do you yield to temptation? Amen. That no man, that is, they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things that we have. That you judge. Well, that's us. We're going to do what God told us to do. And if we just stop right there tonight, how many of us have compromised because of the threat of what a man says, and we walk in disobedience to God? Amen? I know y'all, I want y'all to meditate so y'all have to see a lot. Disobedience to God will never get you a blessing. Remember this, disobedience to God. I don't care what man tells you to do, what threats, what they try. You know what I'm saying? You know what? If you don't do this, I'm going to do this to you and do that to the other. If God be for you, saints of God, who then? But how many of us are disobeying God because of something that a man has said? The threat. You choose what is right in your sight or not. But as for me, I'm going to serve God. Can you make a stand for God? He said, we can speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. And he goes on to say, so when they further, still threatening them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men, when you stick to your conviction, God's going to be glorified. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went their way to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with what? One accord and said, Lord, Lord, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then drop down to verse 29. And now, Lord, so you did all of this, everything in this world is because of you. Verse 27, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, adversity, right? The threat. He said, now behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servant that with be bold in God. I'm telling you, if they take everything away from you because you don't work for God, don't worry about it because God will give you twice as much as you had, just like he did Job. Your latter end will be blessed greater than your former end. Just stand for God. You know what God said? He said, I just want to see what you're going to do. All the world, everything in this world belongs to me. The earth is the Lord and the fullness. Everything belongs to God. The camera out, it all belongs to God. God said, I'm going to let them take it, but you don't see it, but on the other side, I got a blessing for you. Yeah. I just want to see if you're going to sacrifice Isaac, and then when you go far enough, I'm going to tell you, hold up, look behind you, because the blessing is caught in the thickets. Yeah. When you're obedient, but God allows us to go through the test to see where we are, amen? Yeah. Now behold thy threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had, they were threatened, right? But they still prayed. Hallelujah. I wonder tonight, what do you do when you are threatened? What do you do when it seems like the bottom is falling out? What are you going to do in the midst of your adversity? When they prayed, the place was hallelujah. Somebody said, we're having a Holy Ghost good time. Even in the midst of the threat, where they were assembled together, and they were all. That's what we need. In the midst of the adversity, still pray. In the midst of the adversity, have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. I don't know what they're going to do, and I heard about the threats, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand the latter days upon the end of the earth. So let them threaten me. I'm going to stand in Jesus. Let them do all they want to do. I'm going to still pray. And when I begin to pray, hallelujah, there's a shaking going on in this place because I have my eyes. In the midst of adversity, I didn't take my eyes off of Jesus. In the midst of the adversity. Amen. Say they filled the Holy Ghost, they speak the word of God with all boldness. Amen. I'll finish this up, Lord willing, at another time. But you got to keep your eyes on who? Jesus. No matter how bad it gets, the threat, let the devil do what he will, keep your eyes on. Now, the scripture says about the Lord that he sent his disciples ahead of him while he took care of the multitude. And then while they were going out, the scripture said he went up into a mountain apart to what? Pray. Amen. And then about the fourth watch of the morning, now the first watch, I'm going to hit y'all up. The first watch is between 6 and 9, right? Now, back in these days, they didn't have lamp posts and street lights. The only lights they had was on there. The lantern is carried, right? So the first watch is 6 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock in the evening. The second watch is from 9 to 12. The third watch is from 12 to 3 in the morning. The fourth watch is from 3 to 6. So he sends them away at evening time, which is about 6. Then he departs in the mountain to pray. So then all of a sudden, about 12 hours later, here he comes walking on the water, right? But the problem was the disciples were in the midst of a storm. They were roaring and weren't going anywhere. So they see Jesus walking on the water. And as he's walking on the water, Mark said he was going to walk by them, right? He would have passed them up. But the disciples see him walking on the water, and Jesus said, it is I. Anybody need him to see his eye tonight when they're missing your storm? When you're not going anywhere? You need a in his eye? Now the thing is this, and we know that that time of the morning is pitch black, right? There's no lights. How do they see Jesus? Because he's the light of the world. In him is light, and in him there is no. They saw that light walking. They were afraid at first and thought it was a spirit. Hallelujah. But then when they realized it was Jesus, Peter said, Lord, if it be you. Lord, if it be. Anybody tonight want to say, Lord, if it be you, in the midst of my storm, bid me to come unto you. Hallelujah. And all the Lord said was, come. In the midst of your storm, they say, Lord, come. Hallelujah. The scripture said, Peter got out and began to walk on the water. The devil said, I don't believe this. So you know he made the storm worse. Right? So when the wind got more boisterous, what did Peter do? Took his eyes on Jesus. Amen. What I'm saying is, in the midst of your storm, keep your focus. Keep Jesus. But the good thing about God, even though Peter began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus, when he cried, the Lord reached out. Helped him, right? Now let me ask you a question. Did the storm change? No. So the Lord, and a lot of people don't realize this, after he began to sing, the Lord reaches out, guess what they do? Because him and them together, they walk on the water together. But the storm is still in the storm. And said, then when it got in the ship, the storm ceased. Peter got his off of Jesus, but when he began to sink, he knew where his help came from. So he called unto Jesus and said, and this is what the scripture, man, this is, God's a miracle working God, right? Amen. Now, we talking about somebody who can do anything? All the two people that walked on water. One was God and one was Peter. Even when he began to sink, they walked on the water still to get back to the ship. When they got the ship, the storm ceased. But then the Bible says immediately they were on the other side. You need to cross over to the other side. You need to have Jesus on board in your adversity, let us say it. Tonight, there's a blessing. There's a blessing born out of adversity. But the only way you get the blessing is you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to keep your focus right. The scripture said, looking unto who? Jesus. While we're looking not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are, as the elders and ministers come forward, it's time to get a breakthrough. Whatever your adversity is, it's time for a breakthrough. Your breakthrough comes through Jesus. Time has no bearing on God's breakthrough. If you need God, whatever you need from God, you know what? Some Christ said, dear Lord, I come. A lot of times we come to God, but we hold back. We let it go. It's time to surrender all. When I come to the altar tonight, I say, Lord, just as I am. Yes, I got issues. Yes, I got challenges. But Lord, tonight I present myself to you. I present myself as a living sacrifice. Now your word declares, if I present myself a living sacrifice, you'll make me holy and acceptable unto you. You can get a blessing in adversity, but you gotta change the way you think. You gotta change the way you see God working in your situation. It's time for the church. Who in the church? Can you give me a wave off? If you're in the church, it's time for you to get your eyes back on Jesus. Hallelujah. And support.